All right. Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Mira. And then I got Bri Renee on here for our segment. Feeling AF.
This is episode 3.
Yes, it is. We're going strong. Holy shit.
We go together now. It's fine.
It's almost a thing. For those who don't know, Bri Renee is the owner of company Love, Sex, and Magic Company. That is who you hit up in terms of your everything spiritual. Waist beads, crystals.
All the things.
Tarot card readings. Are you still doing tarot card readings?
I am. I'm doing them via Zoom because Rona.
I had a friend in California that did them via phone call.
I like Zoom or Facebook Messenger, whatever video chat, because that way you can see the cards and have a experience. I want it to be an experience, so I want you to be able to at least see the cards and stuff.
I like that. So today we're chatting a little bit about astrology.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? I have my notes up.
Oh, birth charts.
And birth charts.
Yes.
That's kind of where I started off for me in terms of exploring spirituality and things of that nature. Starting with learning myself a little bit more through those aspects. However, I got not that far, especially when it comes to birth charts.
Right.
My mom was no help. I was like, come on, now, when was I born? She's like, I don't fucking know. Maybe not. I don't need a maybe.
Okay. But it's cool. So.
Astrology, birth charts, and the why behind those.
Yes.
Does that mean the why and the significance?
Why you should get your birth chart, because you need to know. I don't know how people are walking around here without knowing something about their birth chart. Like, how are you surviving? What's going on?
Basically.
Just from me learning the gist of my birth chart when I first started learning everything, compared to before it was like, I'm just, out here. And now it's, okay, this makes sense because I have this placement, or this is why I enjoy this because of this house being in this sign or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
So, it's insightful knowledge, especially as a parent, to have your child's birth chart, or as a child to have your parents' birth chart. So
think of that. What?
Yeah. Like, if I ever get like a actual business partner or investor, I'm gonna do their birth chart
to see if y'all like mesh.
Yes, I need to make sure we're compatible because I have waxing and waning motivation, so I need to know that, like, that bothers some people. Mm-hmm. You know, it bothers me when other people do it, but not when I do it. So
natural because it's you,
right? Right. So I have pretty much did the Cliff Notes version because I don't want to be on here having our listeners on here for hours and hours.
Yeah, if y'all want to learn more, comment on our videos and recordings and shit.
Yeah. So I just don't want to overdo it and have everybody like, girl, this girl's been droning on for like 5 hours now. What is happening? So
green farts out the ass.
I have been doing a more in-depth breakdown of like 2 or 3 different things per episode on my podcast. So if you need like deep, I might just do a full episode of like deep in-depth everything and just talk for like 2 hours explaining stuff. But for our combined listeners, I want to do the short version, cheat on the test version. I have notes.
I love it.
I have notes, and I have some resources pulled up. And I will give everybody, there's a website for you to get your free natal chart. There are several. You can literally just Google free natal chart. The thing about those are that some of the interpretations are very, very surface level, because they're just telling you what that particular placement in that house, in that sign means. It's not telling you how it interacts with all the other shit going on in your chart.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that second part would be interesting.
It's best to just pay somebody that knows what they're doing to interpret your chart for you so that you know what's going on.
Free Renee.
I'm about to put birth chart interpretation services back on my website. I took them off, but I had them on there, and I think it was before all of that started getting, you know, popularized. And now that people are like, oh, I need this, they're asking me for it. And I'm like, oh, well, I used to do that, but I don't anymore.
On there, hell. And then right. Definitely look forward to whatever 2-hour special that you do. So for all my listeners, if you want to learn more, please go hit up Bri Renee's podcast, which you can find on our website, www.lovesexandmagic.co.
Yep.
And pay for some shit. Hell.
Yeah, like support me, because I'm a entrepreneur Negro and I need support.
black female one at that.
Right. Okay, so.
Where are you taking us?
We're going to start just with overall astrology. It's really short and sweet. So I think when most people think of astrology, they think horoscopes, the stuff that's in the Sunday paper.
That's what I thought first.
A lot of people are like, well, I don't believe in astrology because my horoscope never resonates with me. And I'm like, horoscopes only show your sun sign. So you've got, horoscopes only resonate with your sun sign traits. So if you have a strong moon aspect, or your rising sign is just a stronger sign than your sun sign, you're going to resonate with your rising sign more. So my big three is double Sag and Scorpio. So when I read Sagittarius sun sign horoscopes, they resonate for me because my sun and my rising and like several other planets are in Sagittarius for me.
Right.
So I have big Sagittarius energy. So when I read that, it resonates with me. But I can also read the Scorpio because I have a Scorpio moon and it still resonates with me. Whereas somebody that has like two double Scorpio and then like Aquarius energy, they're going to look at the Aquarius and be like, what the fuck is this? You know, like, I don't feel like this at all. They're like deep, dark, and mysterious. And Aquarius is like out of this world doing shrooms so that they can not be here on this planet. So Scorpio is going to be like, girl, what? So
off of you said your rising sun sign?
So you have, we'll go through that when we start the chart.
I got fucked rising, and I think my rising, from what someone calculated for me, is like Capricorn.
And interesting.
I'm scared. We don't get that shit done again, because I'm not sure, because Capricorn, they're just fucking crazy fuckers. So I don't know.
My mom's Capricorn, trust me, I know.
I'm just not sure about that. I don't know.
So basically, in general, for astrology, I just wanted to say that it is infinitely deeper than just your sun sign, your horoscope, and that it is an ancient science that has been being used for thousands and thousands of years. So I don't know why you wouldn't believe in it if you believe in religion,
right,
which has been translated and passed down and changed by monarchs and dynasties to fit their agendas.
I was just about to say, to fit whatever they go, like, whatever.
Yeah. So I trust astrology much more than I trust, 2,000-year-old books that have been translated by random monarchs and stuff.
Right.
Just putting that out there. So let's jump into the natal charts, because this is going to be the long part. So I'm just going to go, I have three major points I want to go over. So it's going to be the why and the what as the first point. And then the next point is going to be planets, points, and asteroids. And then the last one is going to be houses. So for a birth chart, it is planet plus sign plus house. And that is going to equal your interpretation. And then it's like interpretation times interactions equals full interpretation. So.
What is this math problem?
So you have to know what sign the planet is in, and then what house the planet is in order to get the interpretation of that particular placement. But in order for you to get a full interpretation of your chart, you have to take the individual interpretation of each placement, and then how they interact with each other is going to give you your full chart. It's a whole lot, but if you actually sit down and look at your natal chart, then you'll be like, oh, okay. So I had to actually look at my chart.
I hear people refer and talk about it, like once they get it down pat, like it's nothing.
Yeah, it's a lot of information. But I think once you master your own chart and then you start saying, okay, well, let me ask my best friend. And then you start saying, okay, these traits fit because of this placement, because she has this in retrograde in her chart, blah, blah, blah. Because you can have retrogrades in your chart too. So
you can have retrograde in your chart. What the
yeah,
fuck?
Trash. So, can you imagine being born during a Mercury retrograde? Jesus. I mean, that means when a Mercury retrograde happens, like currently, you might feel right at home, but because you were born in chaotic energy.
While we're bitching.
Right. So, for the why should you get a birth chart? It is basically a guide to your life. It's going to tell, they have your birth chart, they have a progress chart, they have all of these different charts that are based on your natal chart, your birth chart. So it's basically going to give you a guide to your life. And it's not necessarily like predicting the future, it's just going to tell you what your strengths, weaknesses, things you're going to need to work on, things that are going to be hard for you, things that are going to be easy for you, things like that. That are helpful. So like I said, having my son's birth chart, I'm better able to parent him because I know what he needs. I'm a Sagittarius. I'm not touchy-feely. My Venus is in Capricorn. I don't need all that, but my son needs that. So I have to make that sacrifice for him to give him that affection, that love, that verbal confirmation stuff that he needs so that he can thrive. Whereas my mom was a Capricorn, so I wasn't raised on, like, I hug and kiss my mom, but I wasn't raised on hugs and kisses and cuddles. I was raised on, we live in the same house, we don't gotta hug every day. So, and to me, that's normal.
Bills.
Right. So, the what? So, again, a natal chart is an actual chart, it is a diagram. It's split up into 12 little segments, just like a clock. All of those segments have a sign, a zodiac sign assigned to it. All of those segments are going to show where the planets were. It's basically a snapshot of our universe at the exact time that you were born. And it's going to give you all of the insight into what you need.
Oh, that's why we need the specific time that you were born.
So you can get a general one. For if you don't know, and you do need your date of birth, the location of your birth, so what city, and the time of your birth. If you don't have the time, you can get a general one. It's just not going to be as accurate because it's not exactly the time. Like if your mom's like, I don't know, you were born around 8 a.m., you probably want to do the general one instead of, I would rather have the general one than to be off by like 22 minutes and then it'd be like, well, the moon was in Capricorn and then it moved into Aquarius and now yeah, your moon sign is off.
Map of life.
Yeah, basically. So now let's move on to planets, points, and asteroids. So we're, and when I say planets, points, asteroid, planet, when I say planets, I mean planetary bodies. So this is going to be luminaries, the sun, the moon. This is going to be like asteroids, like different, like your rising sign is a point on your chart. It's not a planet, it's not a luminary. It's just a certain degree of calculation on your chart. And they look at that and see what sign it's in.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So we'll start off with the sun. So basically your sun sign is going to be your outward project. Like it's your fundament, it's your essence. So this is going to be your ego, your sense of self, your personality, and your preferences.
Okay.
And then each planet also governs a zodiac sign. So it'll be exalted in certain signs. So the sun governs Leo. So you know how Leos are. They are vivacious. They're very expressive. They're
very
generally beautiful people, generally kind of vain people.
I think they're sweethearts.
I like Leo women. I don't really care for Leo men. Leo men are always attracted to me, but I don't like them.
I get along with Leo men. So far, the Leo women in my life, I love them too, but they've been very, I don't even use the word prideful because that just sounds like Leo pride. Like, I don't want to use that, but just very.
I mean, but it is.
I don't know. Love them to death. They're my good friends, but I feel you.
Right.
Maybe I need some grown Leo women in my life because I was back in college as far as
Yeah, they were unevolved as hell. So.
Right, thank you.
So, now let's move on to the moon. Basically, the moon is going to represent, you know, the moon illuminates the nighttime. So it illuminates what's in the dark. This is your innermost, deep, dark, twisty, emotional feelings and shit. So the moon represents your emotions. It's basically everything that is under the surface. So the moon also governs Cancer. So that's nurture, comfort, security. It's also the fastest moving planetary body or luminary in the sky because it goes through signs in 2 or 3 days. So, you know, Monday the moon could be in Sagittarius and then Wednesday it's already in Capricorn. So the moon, because it revolves around the earth quickly. So basically all of the planets that are closer to the sun are going to change sign a lot more quickly than the planets that are farther away because it takes them longer to make that revolution around the sun.
Literally based off of basic astrology.
Yeah, basically.
And revolving. Oh, got you. Okay.
So all of that kind of comes into play in your natal chart. So moon, Cancer, moon has major Cancer energy. So emotions, feelings, a little bit of manipulations. And I forgot to mention the sun represents your relationship with your father. Your moon represents your relationship with your mother. So my son is in Sagittarius. So me and my dad have a very upbeat, fun kind of relationship. Whereas my moon being in Scorpio, you know, Scorpios are obsessive. They are emotional, but they basically, a Scorpio is a Cancer in a leather jacket. So a Scorpio is emotional and deep. So my relationship with my mom is very much built on emotions, which is hard for her. It's hard for both of us because I'm a Sagittarius. I'm lucky, happy all the time. And my mom's a Capricorn. So she's all hard work and you know, just do it. So our relationship being as emotional as it is now that I've gotten older, it's a lot easier to navigate because we've both kind of evolved into who we're going to be. Because my parents aren't that much older than me. They're only 16 years older than me. So we, yes, they were my parents, but we also kind of grew up together. Yeah. Right. So the next planet is Mercury. So of course, Mercury is the smallest planet of the solar system. It is named after the messenger to the gods. So Mercury symbolizes communication. So since the moon reflects your emotions, Mercury is going to reflect logic and reason. So it basically kind of helps you analyze and like articulate your ideas. And Mercury also governs two signs, which is Gemini, which is an air sign, and Virgo, which is an earth sign. So basically, you know, Geminis, they can't shut up. Gemini is output, while Virgo is input. Virgo takes in all of the details before they act. So Mercury pretty much changes sign every 2 weeks. And then you have Mercury retrograde at least 3 or 4 times a year, depending on the year. So every 2 weeks, Mercury goes into a different sign. If it's in Gemini, you're going to be very expressive. If it's in Virgo, you're going to be a better listener. And then you have certain signs where Mercury goes into it and it's a terrible idea. So in my chart, Mercury is in Sagittarius. So something that I've had to work on because of that placement is I have to be more tactful. And it's not necessarily out of manipulation. It's just out of needing to be able to not necessarily get people to do what I want, but not to rub people the wrong way by how I say things.
Asking them to do what you want.
Right. Instead of just being like, girl, I don't give a fuck. Do this, this, and this, or we don't got to talk no more. Because that's how I be feeling. I'm like, I don't care. Like, man. But
as a Sag woman, it just kind of comes out.
So. Yeah. Like, we're just kind of balls to the wall. I'm going to say what I got to say, and I don't really care how you feel about it because I'm right. And we can still be right, but we can say it in a tactful way that's going to get the desired result.
Exactly. So,
yeah. Yeah. So that's Mercury. Let's move on to Venus. So, of course, Venus is named after Venus. Basically, Venus represents love, money, and beauty. So it is also considered a benefic planet. The other planet that's a benefic is Jupiter. It basically has a lot of influence is what that means. So while Venus is going to have influence over beauty, love, and money, Jupiter is going to have influence over luck and abundance. Thankfully, you know, Jupiter rules Sagittarius. Anyway. So Venus is very much about indulging and being luxurious and being like it's exalted when it's being like fine wines and, you know, long baths and things like that. So
that's nice.
Basically, it's trying to find the correct words, like a your idealized perception of love is what your Venus sign is in. So, yeah, so your ideal relationship is normally very reflective of whatever sign your Venus is in. So my Venus, I believe, is in Capricorn. So while I would like that very traditional relationship, I'm pansexual, so I kind of want to sleep with women too. But I know that I don't know that I want to be in a, I don't think that I can be in a traditional relationship as far as only being with one person. So that's hard on me because the Capricorn in me just wants to be like, boyfriend, cool. But the Sagittarius in me is like, girl, explore.
Explore, yes. That is a hard fight.
Like, girl, explore. So Venus rules Taurus, which is an earth sign, and Libra, which is an air sign, which basically when they rule two signs, it represents two different sides. So Taurus is very physical. Libra is very cerebral. If you think about Taurus as a bull, they're stubborn. They want to do whatever they want to do. Whereas Libra is very, when I say cerebral, basically it's very indecisive at times because Libra energy is indecisive ass energy because Libra wants to people please and Libra doesn't want to be on anybody's bad side, but they kind of got to get the fuck over it.
Yeah, my parents, both my parents are Libras, but my mom has more of that shit than my dad mm-hmm. does.
So Venus will change planets every month and a half. and then it goes retrograde every year and a half, 2 years.
Okay.
So Mars is named after the god of war. It is action, determination, aggression. It's like that raw, pure energy. Also includes that raw sexual energy.
Oh, that's included?
Yeah. Like sexual energy is kind of thrown around. It's included in lots of different, but this is that primal, like, fight or flight.
Yeah.
Reproduction, like, energy, not necessarily sensuality. Yeah, you know,
we're primal.
Yeah, this is just morning wood. I don't know how else to describe
it. Before the piss.
Right, right. So Mars pretty much is going to give you the energy to do whatever it is you need to do. The bad thing about it is it does not give you the energy to plan or to take certain things into account. Mars also governs Aries, which is, you know, Aries are impulsive. They're very in your face. They're very, let's do it. They don't really think about, like, the plan or the consequences. They're like, fuck it, we're doing it. You know, Aries is a person you take with you to go bungee jumping.
Than us.
Right. Aries is
my impulsive moments, but I didn't know that actually.
Yeah. So Aries is like, I think Sagittarius is that cool, laid back, impulsive. Aries is like, let's go jump off the building. Sagittarius is like, girl, let's go. Right. Sagittarius is like, so next week I booked a flight. I booked a flight for next week to Bali. You trying to go? You know. Aries is like, I signed us up to jump off a building.
Right.
Sometimes. I don't actually have any Aries friends that I know of, which is interesting.
Who's more impulsive than me, and base it off of that. And I mean, unless we just are high and by I don't know, bitch.
So, and then Mars changes signs every month and a half, 2 months. And then it goes retrograde every 2 years. And I do believe we have a Mars retrograde coming up this year, if I remember correctly.
What does that mean? Are we all going to be horny fucks out here? Or like?
It depends on what sign it's in, too. Right. But basically, retrograde, anytime there's a retrograde, it just means it's time to turn inward, retreat inward, retrograde, reevaluate. Reassess. It's all time for you to kind of take a minute, look at where you are, look at the things that you've achieved. Are you on the right path? Are you doing the things you need to do to get to where you need to be? That's what a retrograde is for whatever planet. It just sucks. Like,
if you don't take that opportunity, you're forced to take the fucking opportunity.
Yep. Basically, a retrograde is gonna put you in a position to where you have to look at yourself and you have to look at the things you've been doing to see if that is conducive to your greater highest good.
Right.
You kind of don't have a choice. So
no.
The universe be like, fam, I've been trying to drop the hints, but now here you go.
I'm gonna sit down and have a conversation.
Here you go. Now you don't have a choice. Get out your extra long legal pad and write down these pros and cons. I'm about to have all our listeners with legal pads writing stuff out because I feel like I recommend that on every episode.
Legal pad, y'all.
You got to get the legal pad so everything can fit on one page. So Jupiter is the biggest planet in the solar system. It is named after Zeus, basically. Jupiter in Roman mythology, Zeus in Greek mythology. It's the great benefic. It is the planet of abundance, philosophy, fortune, luck, and spirituality. All the good shit, because it rules. So it basically governs expansion, and it is all about you widening your horizons on those things that it governs, and education as well. So again, Jupiter governs Sagittarius, which Sagittarius are known to be thrill seekers. We're known to take risks, and then we just kind of luck out on how they turn out.
We some lucky fuckers, so yep. Jupiter got us.
Yep, I always just trust that in the end, shit's just going to work out for me because Jupiter got me. Right. And I have a very, very Sagittarius heavy chart too. So Sagittarius are really, really smart. They're really charming. And then they have all this luck and abundance on their side. So you might have that broke-ass Sagittarius friend, but they always traveling. Right. You know, we'll book a flight in a minute.
Clowning me about how much I be traveling. I'm just like,
yes. They'll be like, girl, didn't you just get evicted? And you be like posting pictures on the beach. Like,
don't worry about that.
Eviction notice on your door. Okay, and I'm in Aruba right now, girl. So Jupiter is an outer planet, so it takes way longer to transit to the next zodiac sign. So Jupiter takes about a year or so to transit to the next one, and it goes retrograde every year for like 4 months. So, girl, Jupiter, I find that Jupiter retrogrades don't really affect me. The only things that I really feel, physically at least, are full and new moons, because new moons make me exhausted. For really, new moons and full moons make me exhausted, because full moons, you're releasing energy. New moons, you're bringing in new energy.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it had something in relation to do with the spiritual work that you do for people. So
I don't do no spiritual work for other people. Stuff. Besides tarot readings. I cannot take on that burden right now.
You definitely can't right now. Shit.
So Saturn, basically is about time, tradition, and restriction. Saturn,
I don't like that.
On the positive side, Saturn symbolizes achievements, resilience, and hard work. On the negative side, it is kind of forces you to, Saturn's like dad, it's tough love. It's, all right, well, since you didn't want to do it right from what I told you, now I'm going to make you have to learn how to do it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, so you ain't want to listen when the writing was on the wall, now you don't have a choice but to learn it. I don't know how else to explain it. It's very unemotional. It's very challenging. But when, like, everybody has a Saturn return around 27 or 28 years old.
Oh, is that when you're earning your 30s?
Yeah, basically.
When you're earning your 30s, and I was told if it doesn't hit, I was just talking to my friend about this. If it doesn't hit then it'll hit again in your 50s, except it won't be as tough.
It'll be every 28 years. And basically, if you don't have if you don't get your shit together, and it also, you have to think, you're at different phases in your life. So your first Saturn return is going to be right before you hit your 30s. It's after you've kind of had all of these life experiences. That first one is going to give you the opportunity to apply what you've learned to your 30s and 40s. And then that second one you have when you're like almost 60 is basically a time for you to reevaluate and to make sure that you're doing what you need to do. So the first one is like, okay, I went to college, or I learned a trade, or I started a business, or whatever. I got a job. Now, how can I take this to the next level to get to where I want to be? Or I'm content with where I am. What can I work on personally?
Right.
So the next one you have when you're almost 60 is going to be like, okay, I've lived majority of my life. Do I want to retire? Do I want to settle down? Do I want to do this with my spouse or my significant other? Do I want to be a cougar? Like, it really just depends.
Right. Okay.
So basically it's just a time of like self-reflection, evaluation. All like your entire life is all about self-reflection, evaluation. Yes. And the sooner people learn that, because you're going to learn all the lessons you need to learn in your life to either, depending on what you believe in, to, you know, die happy or be reincarnated in the next level of life to learn the next set of lessons, or reach enlightenment, or, you know, completely disappear forever, whatever you believe in. But you are getting put through these trials and tribulations and challenges in order to learn these lessons so that you don't have to do it again. The point is, learn the lesson, apply the lesson. Yes, learn it, apply it, don't let it happen again, basically. If you ever find yourself in a cyclical situation where every time you're having the same issues and you basically you're dating the same dude in a different body over and over, or the same woman in a different body over and over, or you find yourself in the same situations over and over, that means that you're not learning the lesson you're meant to learn. And that's that.
There's no consequence behind that, is there? A universal consequence other than you having to just...
You being stupid? I honestly don't know.
Yourself. I just want to make sure, cover the bases and make sure no one's going to get struck down. We're tired of...
Could you imagine, like, multiple lifetimes of learning the same fucking lesson over and over and over and never actually getting it? I would hate it. So Saturn rules Capricorn, obviously. Capricorn is known for their ambition. They're known for being hardworking. They're known for being about their paper. So Saturn takes 2.5 years to go through each sign, and it goes retrograde every year for about 140 days.
Okay.
Which is pretty much, you have the opportunity every year of your life to get your shit together. Please take it. Take it from someone who has spent every year for the past several years trying to get their shit together. And then it's hard because also you're learning all these other lessons that you have to also apply. And then Saturn is like, okay, yeah, bitch, but remember 3 years ago you learned this, what you gonna do now?
All right, just a little friendly reminder is all.
Yes. So the next planet is Uranus. I'm not going to say Uranus because people are childish. Oh, that's weird. Uranus orbits the sun on its side. So that's weird. You know, most planets are just at like an angle. Or whatever. Uranus is like horizontal.
I think I've heard that before, actually. Like a long ago in like grade school or some shit, maybe.
Yeah, some you know, random facts. You're welcome, guy. So Uranus symbolizes technology, rebellion, and innovation. So do you know what sign that represents? Just from hearing that, can you guess?
What'd you say again? It represents technology and innovation.
Technology, innovation, change, and rebellion. They're the weird ones.
I have a good 3 on my list of weird ones. Okay, who did we run through already? Don't think Cancer. I feel like we already ran through Cancer.
Yeah, we've done Cancer, Capricorn, Sagittarius, Virgo, Aries, Taurus, and Libra.
They're not.
Geminis as well. Who's the weirdo of the zodiac?
Pisces aren't weird.
They're kind of weird, but.
I think Aquarius motherfuckers are weird. Yeah, okay.
So Uranus is all about revolution. They're about changing the rules to, how can I describe it? So when I think of Uranus, I always think of Aquarius energy. Aquarius is social. Aquarius is not psychology. Aquarius is sociology. They want the greater good for everyone instead of the greater good for an individual.
Yeah.
Aquarius is all about fucking up the status quo. They want to like make it great for everybody. Aquarius is universal healthcare, basically. reasonably priced services, you know.
They're weird, but also are besties, so it's cool.
Right. So, like we said, it does govern Aquarius. They're free thinkers. They're eccentric. They're non-conforming, which is really the energy that we need right now, which is why we're in the age of Aquarius like we are. All this change that is happening. The last time we had an age of Aquarius, there was all this change going on. Civil rights, feminine rights, all of those things were happening back, you know, 60, 70 years ago. And then before that, 60, 70 years before that, we had, you know, the abolition of slavery and, you know, Black people migrating, trying to find jobs, all of that. So
that's the year of the Aquarius?
Yeah.
For one of them?
Yeah.
How many have we had so far?
In our lifetime, one. In our, you and I, one, this yeah. one. In our grandparents' lifetime, two.
Okay.
Yeah. So Uranus takes 7 years to transit each sign, but it does go retrograde every year for 150 days. So like I said, the outer planets are very, very, very slow moving. That's why yeah. you'll have whole generations born. Like majority of the people, most millennials are Pluto in Scorpio. The people, the generation that's younger than us usually are Pluto and Sagittarius. And then I need to double check if my son is Pluto and Sagittarius or if he's Pluto and Capricorn. I don't know if we're Pluto and Capricorn yet.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure we are there, but I think my godson might be Pluto in Capricorn, but my son might be Pluto in Sagittarius. So the next planet we have is Neptune, named after the god of the sea. Neptune governs magical, mysterious, spiritual things. Neptune governs the unknown. Basically, Neptune's power is like real life and fantasy combined. It's at that, the place where real life and fantasy meet is what well, Neptune governs.
That's the ass fuckers right there.
Right. So it's like super duper creative energy and then super duper psychic energy. But the negative side of that is that they can be delusional or escapist. Like they don't want to live in this reality, which is Pisces energy AF. Because Aquarius, while their heads may be in the clouds, Aquarius have their heads in the cloud about all these ideas and changes they want to make, but their feet are still on the ground because of that social aspect of it. Pisces are the people that be doing shrooms and acid and, you know, going on drug binges. If I had to give a sign to anybody in the Umbrella Academy, Klaus is definitely a Pisces. He does not want to be grounded in reality at all.
The chimp on there, like in the preview, I'm like, oh, this is psychedelic bullshit.
It's a good show, though. So Neptune basically wants you to explore your imagination, but also remain grounded enough to know, like, you have to still be grounded in reality in order for this to work. So Neptune, of course, like I said, governs Pisces. Pisces is intuitive. It's a water sign. Huge, like, creative, imagination. Neptune takes 14 years to transit through each sign.
14?
Yes. And it goes retrograde every year for 150 days. So Pluto last
but not least.
Pluto, which has been a planet and has not been a planet and then is a planet again, leave Pluto alone. Okay.
On an extra planet, at least they did years ago. I don't know if they succeed.
I don't know if it's still considered a planet now, but I say leave Pluto alone. Pluto is named for the god of death. It's a big deal in your chart. It symbolizes transformation, destruction, power, and regeneration. So when I think Pluto energy, I think death card energy or tower energy for tarot. And we'll get into tarot in another episode. But if any of you are familiar with tarot, that's the energy that Pluto gives off to me. Pluto rules Scorpio, of course. But basically, Pluto kind of reminds us that in order for us to move on and make change and move forward with life, that we have to let go of the past, which, you know, is something Scorpios are very hard at doing. Scorpio is a water sign, has a very mysterious kind of aura about it, but deep down, like I said, a Scorpio ain't nothing but a Cancer in a leather jacket. Pluto takes 14 to 30 years to transit each sign, and then it does go retrograde every year for like 6 months.
These are matching up so equally.
All right. So all of that was pretty easy to go along with, right?
It was.
For the most part. Okay.
Y'all Google visual.
Where am I? So houses. Do what? Go ahead.
And you, so you have your screenshot of when you were born.
Yes.
But it changed. So, okay. But as the signs, as the planets move out of signs, your chart kind of changes as you, not changes permanently, but like.
It can progress. Like, so there are progressed charts that can kind of tell you, give you a little insight on how you're going to evolve or how you have evolved.
Okay.
I am still learning those. So gotcha. Okay. I don't have enough information to do like a full episode on that as of right now. Gotcha. It's a lot of information.
All good. All we wanted were the basics tonight. So it's all good.
Yeah. We went through all the planets. There are asteroids. There's Chiron. There are certain Chiron. The wounded healer. So depending on your Chiron placement, is, you know, basically it's going to be your like wound, your weak point, but it's also how you help heal others, if that makes sense. Okay. So it's something that you might consider a flaw or a weakness, but it's something you help heal in other people. So that's one of the asteroids. And then when we think points, we think rising, we think north node, south node, Lilith, all of those different things are just a formula that calculates where that point is in your chart.
Okay.
So let's move on to the houses. There's 12 houses. I will give short and sweet explanations of these because they are very, very important, but the planets are, to me, what you should focus on at first to learn the meanings of the planets.
Okay.
And to learn the meanings of the signs that they rule over, and then learn the meanings of the planets in those signs, and then learn the meanings of the houses. So you have 12 houses, 1 through 12. The first house is the first impression you give off. It's your appearance, your body, your attitude, how you approach life. The second house is going to be money, self-worth, your values, your possessions, your work ethic, and your security. Third house is going to be communication. This is going to kind of represent like your siblings and your, you know, you're very, very close to your siblings and cousins, whether you want to be or not, because y'all grew up together. So it's going to represent them. It's going to represent short trips for travel. It's going to represent hobbies and electronics. Your fourth house is going to represent your actual family structure, traditions, home, emotions, how you were nurtured, and your self-care habits. Fifth house is going to represent creativity, procreation, self-expression, joy, romance, and dating. Sixth house is going to represent your habits, like your work habits, fitness, health, your daily routines, like when you wake up in the morning, do you go eat breakfast first or do you like go pee, you know, whatever.
Oh, okay.
It's also going to represent how organized you are and how you will service your community or your or whatever. So seventh house is all about like marriage, business partnership. It's about partnerships. So marriage, relationships, friendships, what you look for in a partner. Eighth house is going to be intimacy, sex, shared finances. It's going to be money, pretty much loans. It's also going to be the occult and mystery. Ninth house is pretty much the big picture. It's going to be your beliefs, cultures, higher education, long travel, writing, religion, law, things like that. 10th house is going to be career status, long-term goals, your public image, your reputation. 11th house is going to be networks. The 11th house governs the internet. networks, internet, your friend groups, humanitarianism, hopes and wishes, and your future. 12th house, which is where majority of my planets are, woohoo, is like your subconscious, that's your karma, the afterlife, addictions,
right.
Your intuition, all that deep, dark Scorpio mysteriousness.
all that shit. That makes
12th sense. House AF. Yeah, so 12th house also represents like death. It's basically death and taxes. it's also the only way to really describe it.
That's funny.
So that is pretty much an overview of what each of the things in your birth chart is going to mean. I always want people to do their own research. You can go to, I believe it's astrocharts.com, get your free birth chart. You can also download an app called Astro Matrix. It lets you like save your birth chart in there. You can pull it up and reference it and look at it and all of that too.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So,
how do you feel about the app CoStar?
I like CoStar for the information. I don't like that you don't see your whole chart to know. I don't like that it doesn't tell you this is happening because you have this sign, this house in this sign, this planet. I like the information is correct. I think if you already know, if you don't know astrology at all, CoStar is fine. If it's not something you want to learn. Or if you know astrology well enough to be like, when CoStar's like, girl, don't go outside today, you'd be like, girl, yeah, because Mercury retrograde is going on, and I got this time. So if you're trying to actually learn astrology, CoStar is not it. It's not giving you enough information. I say Astro Matrix, but Astro Matrix doesn't always give the most accurate descriptions about placements either. So, but it gives you your chart exactly how it is. It tells you you have, you know, Mercury in the first house in Capricorn. Sucky placement, but what else? So, just overall, again, planet plus sign plus house is your basic ass interpretation.
I'm writing that down.
Okay, I can take a picture and send it to you. It's on my note. Planet plus sign plus house equals interpretation.
Jesus Christ. got you.
So just keep in mind that you always have to consider transits, aspects. Aspects are angles formed between any two planets. Stelliums are three or more planets in one sign. The balance of elements in your chart. So I have a fire heavy chart. So I'm always coming up with ideas and creative shit. Whereas other people in my household have a water-filled chart or earth-filled chart. So the earth sign-filled chart is kind of lazy. They want to do things on their own time. They want to be in control all the time. The water sign is emotional, always whining about something, also wants to always have their way, but will whine about it instead of actually doing something about it.
They'll do it right.
Yeah.
Is there a way on the same chart's balanced, like fully balanced?
A fully balanced chart would have all four elements throughout it, and I don't think you can be fully balanced because it really depends on those placements of those signs in each element. You have to look for patterns and shapes. So you might have moon square Uranus or something like that, and then that means something in and of itself on top of your moon sign being your moon being in whatever sign in whatever house, and your Uranus being in whatever sign in whatever house.
Right. Okay.
There's so many layers, and it's a lot. But once you get into it, you're like, oh, bitch, I didn't know. And then you also have to consider retrogrades that were happening during your chart, too. So all of those things kind of combine into what your natal chart is and gives you that snapshot of when you were born and gives you that guide to your life. Like, it is literally a chart with calculations and angles drawn in and points and all of that. Like, you can look at it. If you download Astro Matrix, you can literally look at it and see what it is.
Got you. Okay, that's so dope. Y'all make sure y'all download this shit. I definitely will be. I gotta get the time, like my specific time of birth for my mom. She's playing. She's not taking me.
She honestly might not know, you know. If you have your original birth certificate, the time is usually on there. But most people don't, because we're old.
She came on to me asking for that, and she's kind of like, I'll find. Okay. So, this isn't, I guess, dire, so it's cool.
Yeah.
Just let me know.
You've survived this far, so.
That's good. What I said.
But I just want people to know, like, astrology is more than your horoscope. So if you're one of those people where your horoscope doesn't resonate, this is why. You know, my dad is a Sagittarius sun, but he's got a Taurus moon. So if he were to read a Taurus horoscope, that would probably resonate more with him than a Sagittarius one occasionally. So
I'm glad that you started out with that, because I know that was my first intro into astrology. I'm pretty sure
it's not necessarily wrong. It just may not resonate in the way that it needs to.
And I've had many moments where I'm like,
that ain't for me. That's fake. That ain't for me. And I was the same way. And then I figured out, oh, this is supposed to have way more information in here.
Facts. Not telling me who my celebrity crush is this month. I don't fucking know.
Mm-hmm. Like, Sojourner Truth has the same birthday as you. And I'm like, low key, I don't care, but okay.
I don't know. Well, thanks so much, Bree, for sharing that shit with us. I love that you teach me and my listeners.
Of course.
Really apply.
My listeners need to learn too, because I'm tired of doing birth charts.
Get you some help out here, shit.
Right. So. Of course, make sure you follow us online, on the socials. What's your social media?
Mine is at the One Amira Show, because it's the only one that matters. One more time, at the One Amira Show, because it's the only one that matters. You can also visit www.theamirashow.com for more content.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And then, of course, www.lovesexandmagic.co. If you put .com, it'll still come to me.
That bitch got them all. Like, what yeah. the fuck?
I found a couple more that I'm like, I'm going to put them on my list. And then Instagram, it is at lovesexandmagicco. And is spelled out because people keep wanting to put in, and I don't know why. But it's on there. It is on there. I have new items for sale. I'm going to add the birth chart interpretations back on there. So we'll see how that goes.
Very excited for that shit. So I'm going to go ahead and get my shit prepared.
So, yeah. Hopefully everybody learned something today.
I hope so, too. I'm pretty sure they most definitely did. Again, we thank you. Love you so much.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Y'all have a good night.